Today we begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisborach Masechet Ksubos. As the Rambam explains, Masechet Ksubos follows Masechet Yevamos, for as we have discussed many times, a legal Jewish marriage is in two steps. First is Erusin, and then there is Nesuin. The Nesuin primarily is for the purpose of Bia, that the husband and wife should be allowed to have relations. And as Yibum, as we learned in Masechet Yevamos, is accomplished through Bia, so too Nesuin, which is the subject of our Masechet, is accomplished through Bia. Why, says the Taisus Yontif, does Yevamos come before Masechet Kedushin, Masechet Ksubos? Yevamos is a bia that's mandated. If one's brother passes away without children, he's obligated to do Yibum. On the other hand, Ksubos is a marriage that's entered voluntarily, and therefore Yevamos precedes Ksubos. And as the Taisus Yontif goes on to explain, when one does Yibum with his sister-in-law, he actually is fulfilling two mitzvahs. He's mekayim the mitzvah of Yibum, and he's also mekayim the mitzvah of Pur Revu, of getting married, whereas when one does Nesuin, he's only mekayim one mitzvah, the mitzvah of Pur Revu. Why the Masechta of Ksubos precedes the Masechta Kedushin, even though Kedushin describes the Erusin, which, as we mentioned, precedes the Nesuin? Mefarshim explain, either, as we just explained, because Ksubos is, we want to put Ksubos right next to Masechet Yevamos, particularly as the Pnei Yeshua explains, since we learned at the end of Masechet Yevamos the subject of Ksubos, where the Gemara discussed, if a person comes and says that somebody passed away, does that aid require drish v'chakira? Must we question him and cross-examine him about the death of that man? And the Gemara said it depends if the purpose is coming to discuss the ksuba, then drish v'chakira is not required. So since we have this connection between the end of Masechet Yevamos and end of Masechet Ksubos, that's why they're put together. As we will discuss in the Gemara, the subject, if the obligation of giving a ksuba from a husband to a wife is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, is a machloikis tanoim, although there's a pasuk that seems to indicate that it's certainly a chiv d'oraisa, because the pasuk says kesef yishkoil k'mayr apsulus, and Kamar Psulus refers to a ksuba. We're going to learn it's machlokes if the obligation is a chiv d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. Most rishonim hold l'halacha that's a chiv d'rabbanan. There are those that hold it's a chiv d'oraisa, even though in the text of the ksuba the words of the chazi l'chi midoraisa are mentioned, which clearly seems to indicate that there's an obligation midoraisa. Still, the Mefarshim explained the Chazal Chimi Deraisa may refer to the type of money used, not to the obligation. Certainly, everybody agrees that the obligation is, if it were to be Deraisa, is only on the Ikr Ksuba, the fundamental amount that must be given in the Ksuba, on the extra amounts that are given, or the Ksuba that's given to our Mana, certainly are not a Chiv Deraisa. What is the Ikr Ksuba? Dik Ksuba is Mosayim Zuz, 200 Zuz when one marries a Besula, and 100 Zuz when one marries a Be'ula. However, as we will learn, there is also a concept of Tosfos Ksuba. Sometimes people add to the Ksuba. In fact, in our Ksubas, it's quite common that when one marries a Besula, he adds 100 zakukim kesef for a psula, and for a be'ula, one adds 50 kesef tsarev to the ksuba. The obligation to give the ksuba is kadesh leitei kala be'enov lahitzia, in order that the husband should not be quick to divorce his wife, if he will recognize that when he divorces his wife, there will be serious financial repercussions that will prevent him from divorcing his wife. And therefore, as we will learn, the halacha is that even if one did not specifically write a ksuba, and the wife doesn't have that document, the obligation is still there to give the ksuba, which is paid upon termination of the marriage, whether it's terminated through divorce or it's terminated because the husband passed away. Even though when the husband passed away, there is no concern of kadesh leitei kala be'enov leitzia. It wasn't that he chose to terminate the marriage, he just died. Still, Chazal did not differentiate, and they said that under all circumstances, there is an obligation to pay a ksuba from the estate of the husband to the wife upon termination of the marriage. The husband, as he enters a marriage, has a number of obligations towards the wife. Sheira ksusa vainasa, he has to support her, feed her, have relations with her. He has to take care of her doctor bills. If she is unfortunately captured, he has to pay ransom. He has to bury her should she die. His estate has to continue supporting this wife after he dies, as long as she continues to live in his home. His estate has to continue supporting the daughters, her daughters, until they have erusin. And then there's the concept of ksubas nindichrin, which we will speak about more as we get into the Masechta. A wife has certain obligations to the husband also. The wife's earnings belong to the husband because he supports her. And therefore, as we will learn, if a wife chooses to say, I will not be supported and I will not give you my earnings, she may say that. If she finds something, her metzia goes to the husband. There too, the reason is because if she earns more than the normal amount, it also goes to him, and therefore the metzias that she finds goes to him. Others say it's because of Eivet, shouldn't cause any animosity in the marriage. Profits that she has from assets that she owns belong to him. And Yerusha, were she to die before him, he inherits her. The Ksuba also includes the Nichsei Tzayin Barzal, which are assets that she brings into the marriage that are assessed for their value at the time of the marriage, and that amount is hers. That evaluation is hers, no matter if the value of the assets go up or down. That's why they're called Tzayin Barzal, they're ironclad. They're called Tzayin because typically those were the kind of arrangements were made and people who did transactions with animals. And then there's Nichsei Melug, which are assets, property, remain hers. However, as we said a moment ago, the payris, the profits, the produce that come from those assets belong to the husband. And as we now learn, the husband writes a ksuba to his wife. The Mefarshim explain the why is the ksuba called a ksuba, not a ksav, just a piece of paper, a document. Why do we call it a ksuba? And the Mefarshim explain, as we know, a man's name is Ish, and a woman is the Isha. The difference between a man and a woman, that is, the man has the Yud, and the woman has a Hey, Yud Kei. Ksuba should really have been called Ksav, and has an extra Vav, an extra Hey, representing Yud Kei, Vav Kei, the Shem Hashem, teaching us that a marriage that is to be successful, the Ish and the Isha, with the Ksuba that is written from the Ish to the Isha, all together represents Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, represented there should be Siyata D'Shmaya in every Jewish marriage, that it should be successful. And so too should HaKadosh Baruch Hu help that as we begin to learn this wonderful Masechta Ksubis, which is known as Shas Katan, for the various many concepts that apply to all areas of our living and in halacha. We should be zoichet to have siyat d'shmaya as we begin to learn Masech Ksubis, to understand and have a geshmak in our learning of this Masechta. The Masechta begins with discussing what day of the week should a Jewish marriage take place. And our Mishnah gives the reason that a Jewish marriage should take place on Wednesday. Then in case the husband who's marrying a Basula discovers that his wife is not a Basula, Beis Din was in session Thursday morning, he can immediately come to Beis Din and notify them of this situation, which we will discuss further as we get into our shiur. Another reason, as we will learn in the Gemara, why marriages were said to be done on Wednesday is because Shaktu Chachamim Atakonos B'nos Yisrael, Chazal were concerned about Jewish women. They wanted, in those days, it was the chassan, it was the groom that prepared the wedding, and they wanted that the wedding should be prepared on time and properly, so they had the wedding be prepared on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, enough time to prepare the wedding, and then the wedding would take place on Wednesday. Another reason that's given why the wedding should take place on Wednesday night, which is Thursday, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the fish on Thursday, and on that day he said, Vivarach Oysam Elokim Lamor Purvu, a tremendous bracha Purvu, and therefore we want every Jewish marriage to take place on that day of bracha. Says the Mishnah, Besula Nisas L'Yoyim Harvi, a Besula should get married on Wednesday, Valmona, and Almona gets married L'Yoyim Chamishi on Thursday. The reason Almona gets married on Thursday is we're going to learn the Gemara again, even though this woman is an Almona, and therefore we don't have Sheva Brachas, but we do want the husband to spend time with his new wife, and therefore we make the wedding on Thursday. And Friday he's not allowed to go to work, it's the first day, and Shabbos is Shabbos, like that they'll have 3 days to spend together. Another reason is because on Yom HaShishi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Adam, and he said, Yom Elohim Elokim Purur Vu Milus Haaretz. So again, we want the wedding to take place on Thursday night to have that bracha effective on the wedding. The Ritva says, Besula Nesas L'Yom HaRavi, why doesn't it say B'Yom HaRavi on Wednesday? Says the Ritva, as we're going to learn the Gemara, because the Mishnah is teaching us that even if the date of the wedding should have come out on Sunday, we postpone the wedding until Wednesday. And that's why it says, Besula Nesas L'Yom HaRavi, postpone it till Wednesday. Tosfos says, that why does the Mishnah begin with the word Besula, not with the word Habesula, as the Mishnah begins in Masechta Kedushin with the words of Ha'isha Niknes? So Tosfos answers that the Pasuk, that the Isha that's referred to in Masechta Kedushin is the woman that the Torah speaks about. Kiyikach Ish Isha. So the Masechta begins Ha'isha, that woman that is referred to in the Pasuk, Ha'isha Niknes. But our Mishnah is not referring to a Pasuk, and therefore the words Ha'psula are not appropriate. Others explain because every Besula is supposed to get married on Wednesday, even if a girl gets married when she's very young, and there's less likelihood that she will see Dam Besula, she's going to see the virginal blood, or if a girl is a Begeres, where there is also less chance that she's going to see the Dam, the halacha still is that she should get married on Wednesday. The Chasam Sofer goes on to say, let's say we'll have a woman who was nichnas al chuppah, she even had a chuppah, but v'loy nivla, she did not have bia. She too, her wedding should be conducted on Wednesday, even though she's not, so to speak, a pure besula. Therefore, it says besula, not habesula. I also saw another teretz that we know that the Torah begins with the word bereishis, with the letter beis, representing bracha, versus the letter aleph, which represents oror, a klala. And therefore, Masechta Kedushin, which begins with the word isha, we don't want to begin the Masechta with the aleph, which represents Rachmanel Tzlan klala, so the Masechta begins with the words ha-isha. On the other hand, our Masechta, which is beginning with the letter Beis, that's the letter we want to begin the Masechta with, and that's why it says Bisula versus Habisula. Tosfos goes on to ask, why does the Mishnah say Bisula Nisas L'Yom Revi? Why doesn't our Mishnah say Noisin Es Bisula? So Tosfos gives two answers. One answer is the word Bisula Nisas is a more concise form to meant wording, and we always want to use the most concise wording. Another Teretz Taisus gives is that if the Mishnah used the words Noisin Es Habesula, it would mean that we could force a girl to have Nisuin, and that's of course not true. The woman's consent is essential, and therefore we say Besula Nisas. And as the Mashal explains, as we said earlier, since the Nisuin is followed the Erisin, one would think that once the woman consented to the Erisin, Nisuin can be forced on her. Teaches us the Mishnah that even the Nisuin have to be done with the consent of the woman. Psula Nisas, we need her consent. Tosfos goes on to explain that why must the marriage take place on Wednesday? Can't it take place on Thursday? So Tosfos says that if we're going to wait to let the marriage take place Wednesday night, lesk suba de lairama betigra, many times there are delays for various reasons during the marriage ceremony and during the night of the chasana, and we specifically want that he should have done bia by Thursday morning, as we explained. If we're going to make the wedding too late, there's a concern that that won't happen, and therefore the wedding should take place on Wednesday, so that if there's any need to come to Beis Din by Thursday morning, they should be able to come to Beis Din. So continues the Mishnah, Besula Nisas L'Yom Revi, Besula gets married on Wednesday, V'Amona Yom Chamishin, Amona gets married on Thursday. Shepa'amayim B'Shabbos, Batei Dinim Yoshim B'Yoros, the Batei Dinim would sit twice a week in session, B'Yom Sheni U'B'Yom Chamishi, on Monday and Thursday, if the husband has relations with his wife and discovers that there's no dam and that she's not a psula, he could come to Beis Din, he could come to Beis Din immediately Thursday morning. And as the Rishonim explained, originally Beis Din was in session in every community all the time, or if they weren't in session all the time, they were always in session when needed. Ezra came and made certain rules. First of all, he said that every community should have a Beis Din. And he also established that the Beis Din should be available on, should be set in session on Monday and Thursday, and therefore the wedding was said to be done on Wednesday. The Chasam Sofer asks that the Beis Din that sat in every city was a Beis Din of three people. And here we're dealing with a situation of Dina Nefashis. If indeed this woman had relations outside of her marriage, she's Chayiv Misa, for which we need a Beis Din of 23 members, says the Chasam Sofer. What the Gemara means to say is that first they came to this Beis Din of three people to determine what's going on. And if Beis Din actually saw that there was a reason to, and that she had done something so terrible, they would refer it to the Beis Din of 23. The Mefarshim go on to explain the reason our Mishnah only mentioned this explanation, not the other explanation, because this is the most essential reason. Hayamashkim LeBeis Din, this is the most essential reason for the weddings to take place on Wednesday. The Rishonim go on also to explain the wording of Hayamashkim LeBeis Din, teach us that this ruling only applies in a place where Beis Din has this custom of sitting in session on Monday and Thursday. If we will come to an area where it isn't this standard, and Beis Din is always in session, or Beis Din is always in session when they're needed to be in session, then the rule will not be required to have a wedding conducted on Wednesdays. Moreover, in our time, where Erisin and Nisuin are conducted at the same time at our weddings, it's not that the girl becomes an Arusa and then many months or a while later she becomes a Nisua. These halachas also don't apply, because the concern here is that the woman after she became an arusa, had relations outside her marriage, which lahalocha, arusa, is considered an eishes ish, and if she has relations outside her marriage, she's rachmana litzlan, chayiv, misa, and therefore, we're most concerned under those circumstances, not if there was a concern that the relations took place before she was an arusa. And in fact, this leads us to a very essential machlokes of Rashi and Tosfos about who and what are the concerns in our Gemara. Rashi explains that the concern is that every woman, there's a concern that the husband will discover that she may not be an psula, and therefore he has to bring to Beis Din, where it will be determined if his complaint is correct, if the Edom may come to corroborate what he says, even though it's a sfek sfeika. There's a double question if there's a problem. Number one, we don't know if she was mezano or not, and even if she did have relations, she's only prohibited to her husband if her husband is a Yisrael, if she did this willingly. Still, Rashi says, we have her get married on Wednesday, that if there is an issue, bring it to Beis Din. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that would not be a reason to make this rule. Rather, Tosfos says that if a woman is married to a Kohen, the Dera Halacha is that she may not remain with her husband, even if she was violated, raped. So there's only one suffix: did she have relations outside of marriage, or if the Arison took place when the girl was below 3 years old, under 3 years old, that then, even if she had relations, those relations aren't considered halachic relations. So if she's discovered to be a Be'ula, it must be that she had relations after she became an Arusa, and therefore there's only one suffix: was it willingly or not? Those are the reasons Chazal made this gezeira. So explain the Mefarshim that it seems that the machloikis of Rashi and Tosfos evolves around the machloikis of the Rashba and the Trumas Hadeshin. If we have a situation of a Sfek Sfeika, but we could verify what is the status, do we have the obligation or not? The Rashba says we have the obligation to clarify even a Sfek Sfeika. The Trumas Hadeshin disagrees, and Trumas Hadeshin holds that we do not have the obligation to verify a Sfek Sfeika, which actually, this is similarly a machloikis of the Ramah in the Shach, that the Shach says that even a Sfek Sfeika, we have to clarify if we can, and the Ramah says we do not. Says the Sefer Birchas Avraham, we do not necessarily have to say that that's the machloikis here, for we could explain Rashi's position even could be consistent with the Trumas Hadeshin with Ramah. Normally, we do not have to clarify a Sfek Sfeika. However, here, says the Birkas Avraham, Rashi holds that the repercussions of a man remaining married to a woman who he's not allowed to remain with if she did this Aveira are so serious. That's why Rashi says here we should be mevarir the Sfek Sfeika. On the other hand, Tosfos will hold that since we can never be sure if we could clarify the Sfek Sfeika, Tosfos holds that when is there an obligation to verify a Sfek Sfeika? The obligation to verify a Sfek Sfeika is only in a situation where we know we could clarify it. For example, we have an animal. We don't know if it's kosher treif. We have a lung. We don't know if it's kosher treif. So even a Sfek Sfeika says that it's kosher, if we could clarify it, don't rely on the Sfek Sfeika. Here, however, we don't know that we will reach a clear clarification. Therefore, Tosfos says we don't have to get involved in clarifying it, and therefore the gezeira was only for Bas Yisrael who got married, a woman married to Yisrael when she got Arusa less than 3 years old, or Eishes Kohen, and then Chazal made the rule for all women because of Loi Plug. Tosfos goes on to ask that we're concerned for znus, and we know that throughout Shas the Gemara says the znus is lo shchiach, it's not common to find znus, so why are we concerned here? So Tosfos answers that znus with edim and hasra is not common, but here we're talking about znus that there was a relation, that is more common. Another teretz that's given is that to say that a specific woman did znus, that's not common. But here we're making a rule for all women, there it's more of a reason to make such a gzeira. Furthermore, since, as we just learned, the repercussions are so serious that they may remain married when they shouldn't have been married for the rest of their lives, that's why Chazal were more concerned. And another teretz that the Rishonim give is nus of a nesua, a woman who's fully married, is not common. But here we're concerned about znus of an arusa, that is more common. Continues the Gemara. Begins the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Mishmul. Neima Amar B'sul and Asas L'yom Revi. Why did Chazal say that the B'sul should get married on Wednesday? Two pshatim in the Rishonim and understanding the Gemara Shaila. Some say the Gemara Shaila is, why did Chazal make this gezeira? Tosfos seems to learn that the Gemara's kasha is, what is the halachic ramification of this gezeira? Lefi shishaninu, as we're going to learn in the Mishnah, Higiyas man v'lo nisu. As we explained, a Jewish marriage takes place in two steps, erusin and then nisuin. If the time when they said that the nisuin should take place comes and the nisuin don't take place, the halacha is oichus mishaloi, then the arusa begins to eat and be supported from her husband. And furthermore, the oichlois betruma, the halacha is that the, by midaraisa, an arusa who is an arusa to a kohen, even though she's a bas yisrael, she should be allowed to eat truma. Chazal said that we don't allow her to eat truma for two reasons. We're concerned that she'll since she's still living in her parents' home, she'll take that truma home. Or there's a concern that the husband may find out that she has a mum, she has a blemish, and therefore she will never become his wife, and she should have never eaten the truma. But if the time comes, at that point, Chazal said that she is allowed to eat truma. Yochel higiyas man bechem b'shabbos, if the time for the marriage came on Sunday, we would think that distance still applies, and Yemala Mazonis, he should start supporting her. That's why the Torah, that's why the Mishnah teaches us that no, she doesn't have to get, she's not entitled until Wednesday. And there's a fundamental Shaila Rabbi Chanan discusses, what is Pshat, why if the time comes for Nisuin, that she's entitled to mezonos. One pshat is because of knas, it's a punishment that he should have married her, and since he didn't, Chazal require him to start supporting her. And another pshat is because the Chazal look at it as if it is already a quasi-marriage. What would be the nafkamina between the two pshatim? One nafkamina would be, is he entitled to her earnings? If we say it's a fine to him for not having conducted the marriage, so then he's not entitled. But if we consider it, because it's Chazal said, it's as if they are married, at least to a certain degree, so just like in a marriage, he has to support her, so too he is entitled to her earnings, and therefore at this point, she would have to turn over her earnings to him. Om Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef heard this statement, he said, Mori Davrom, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Toli Tanya Bidloi Tanya, our Mishnah, that he's depending, making our Mishnah dependent on a Mishnah that wasn't learned. Ask the Gemara, what does he mean? Hai Tanya V'Hai Loi Tanya. Which Mishnah was learned? Which Mishnah do we learn? And which Mishnah didn't we learn? That's not true. Ha Tanya V'Ha Tanya. Both of these are Mishnayis, explicit Mishnayis. Says the Gemara, what he meant to say was, El Tanya Tanya Mefarash Tama. Our Mishnah explains itself, the reason why marriage should take place on Wednesday. But a Tanya Delay Mefarash Tama, and he's appending it on a Mishnah that although it teaches us a halacha, doesn't give a reasoning for the halacha. So why is he connecting our Mishnah, which is so much more explicit, with that Mishnah that is less explicit? And as the Rishonim explained, even though it was Rabbi Yosef that said this, so what's Rabbi Yosef asking questions? We find many times throughout Shas that Rabbi Yosef got ill and he forgot his learning, and this is when he got better. He said, how could I have ever have said such a Dvar Torah? The Mefarshim explained why, when he had this question, does he use the name of Avram Avinu, Morei d'Avram? So one pshat that I saw is that Rabbi Yosef was blind. And even though Rabbi Yosef was blind, he still was mekayim all the mitzvahs and learned Torah. Avram Avinu also was an individual who, even though he was not mechuyev to be mekayim the mitzvahs, that he wasn't yet Kabbalah or Torah, still was mekayim kol haTorah kula. So that's why Rabbi Yosef felt a closeness to Avram Avinu. Another pshat is that we know Avram Avinu was the one that asked the most fundamental question. He asked, how could one believe that there is no God in the world? So whenever one wants to ask a question, and he believes that his question is a very strong question, he connects it to Avram Avinu, just like Avram Avinu asked that wonderfully strong question, so too am I asking a question. Says the Gemara, Eli Itmar, Rav Yosef changes what Shmuel said. And he says, Hachi Itmar. Om Rav Yudam Shmuel, Neima Om Rav Sula Nasas Loyom Ravi. Why did Chazal say that the wedding should take place on Wednesday? Shem Hayalai Taz Psulim, if there's a question that he feels that she's not a Psula, Hayimashkin LeBezdin. He could go to Bezdin on Thursday morning. Ask the Gemara if that's the reason V'tinasi Bech B'Shabbos, so the marriage could take place on Sunday also. That if there'll be a problem, they could go to Bezdin Monday morning. Answers the Gemara, Shaktu Chachomim at the Konos Knois Yisrael. Chazal were concerned about Jewish women. They wanted that the Chosin should prepare a meal for 3 days. Ech B'Shabbos, V'Shein B'Shabbos, V'Shlish B'Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Revi'i Kansoi, and make the wedding on Wednesday. And as Mefarshim explained, they wanted him to be able to be free to spend time with his new wife for the entire Sheva Brachas. So if he'll have all 3 days to prepare the wedding, he will be free during the Sheva Brachas to spend time with the Kala. Another pshat that Ritva gives is that since if he will spend so much effort and resources in preparing the wedding in Sheva Brachas, it's less likely that he will want to divorce her. And the entire concept, as we've been learning, is to create Shleitei Kala Be'enav Leitzei, that he should not be quick to divorce her. Now that we learned that there's the reason of Shaktu, now we can understand this that we learned in the Mishnah, that a Giyaz Mavloi Nisu, that if the time comes and they still didn't get married, the halachi is oichlus mishaloi v'oichlus metruba, the husband has to begin to support the arusa. The halacha will be higi azman be'ech b'shabbos, that if the wedding comes out on Sunday, v'tarch she'ni yochel lachnois, since he can't make a wedding on Sunday, ein ala ma'al mazonis, he doesn't have to begin supporting her until Wednesday. And as the Rishonim ask, can the woman forgo this rule and say, you know what, I'm prepared to get married on Wednesday and don't make such a nice wedding? So Rishonim say that she cannot say that. Number one, the Rashba says, once Chazal made a rule, the rule has to be followed under all circumstances. And the Shita explains that this is not only a rule that affects her, it's a rule that affects him, and therefore she has no right to abrogate the rule. Tosfos asks, but there's another reason. But however, let's say the wedding can be prepared properly, like in our time, where we don't need Sunday, Monday, Tuesday to prepare the wedding, or the wedding was prepared anyway, then the wedding, if this was the reason alone, does not have to take place on Wednesday. But Tosfos asks, isn't there another reason that the wedding should take place on Wednesday? And that's because, as we learned at the beginning of our shiur, there was a special bracha given to Thursday. So Taisus says that even though that's a wonderful reason for a wedding to take place on Thursday, that is not enough of a reason that the wedding must take place on Wednesday night. And in fact, I saw a tshuva from Moshe using this concept that Taisus teaches us. Moshe was asked, we know that the minig by Ashkenazim is that a chuppah should take place outdoors. Sfardim do not necessarily have that minig. And someone who was asked to be Masada Kedushin at a wedding, who was asked to be Masada Kedushin at a wedding of Ashkenazic Jews, where the wedding would be inside, indoors, the chuppah would not be outdoors. Said Reb Moshe, the reason chuppahs are to be conducted outdoors is because it's a bracha under the stars, to give a bracha that this marriage should have blessing like the stars, like there's so many stars. But like Taisus teaches us, brachas are not an essential element, and therefore if the wedding could take place indoors. He says, even though the Chasam Sofer was very strict, the wedding should strictly take place outdoors. He says that was in the times of the Chasam Sofer, where it was the beginning of the Reform movement, and they wanted to conduct weddings not in the Jewish tradition. That's why the Chasam Sofer was so careful. Nowadays, that minig is not so important. And even though every minig is important, Rav Moshe says a wedding could be conducted indoors. Interestingly enough, the Stechemed, who was of Sephardic origin, was once asked to conduct a wedding indoors, and he refused based on this Chasam Sofer. Continues the Gemara. Now that we learned that if delay was because somebody pushed something off, then he has to start supporting the kala, the arusa. What would be the halacha l'fika kala hu or shachal sehi? If he became ill, or she became ill, or she pressed a nida, she became a nida, and a malamazonis, even though the time for the nesuin came, he would not have to begin to support her. Ika de boy lemibay, and others ask this as a question. Chala hu mahu? What would be the halacha if he became ill? Hasum tamamai, what's the reason that Chazal said that if the wedding was supposed to be, if the 12 months end on a Sunday, we don't have to begin to support her till Wednesday? Mishum the onus. Because it was an onus. It was something beyond his control. And hachanami ha onus. It's also something beyond his control. And therefore, he doesn't have to begin supporting her. Idilma, but tekanta to kinu rabbanon. There it's a rule that Chazal said the weddings should take place on Wednesday. And therefore, if it came out on Sunday, he doesn't have to start supporting her. Ha'cha loy. But here it's just an oinus, and it will be a different rule, and the halacha should be that he would have to begin supporting her. Vim tam tzolaymer. If we will indeed say that Chalahu, if he became ill, it's not her fault, and therefore Malam Mazinus, he has to begin supporting her. Chasihi Mahu. What will be the halacha if she becomes ill? Matze Amala. Can he say to her, Anoha Kimna, I'm prepared to get married, and therefore you're the reason for delay, and therefore I don't have to begin supporting you? Adama Matze Amala in the Stab Chasadeu. She could say to him, it's your fault, it's your problem, your bad mazel, and therefore you have to begin supporting me. And as the Mefarsh, as Taisus explains it on the Beis, since the obligation for marriage is primarily the husband's, the mitzvah puruvu is on the husband, and as Taisus also says, that she is considered the property of the husband, and therefore she could say, it's your bad mazel, you have to begin supporting me. And if we indeed will argue that she could say this, what will be the halacha pirsa nida mahu? What will be the halacha if she becomes a nida? And in fact, the Rishonim want to bring a proof from here to a shaila, that a big machloikus Rishonim, that the Rambam says that a woman who's a nida cannot be brought into a chuppah. And here the Gemara seems to prove that, because the Gemara is saying that she becomes a nida, it's a reason to delay the wedding. The Rishonim, who argue with the Rambam, which is actually the way we paskim, say that even if we will hold that a chuppah of a nida is a valid chuppah, it certainly, he could say, the point of marriage is that I should be able to have relations with you, and if you're a nida, I can't, and therefore it's your fault that we should postpone the wedding. So the Gemara analyzes the situation of person nida. B'shas festa, if it's a regular time when she's expected to get the period, loy tabalach, there is no reason to ask. She cannot say it's your field that got ruined, it's your fault, because it's normal that that should happen, and it's not his fault. And as the Rishonim, as the Mefarshim explained, the Rishash explains, even though we know the question is Vestis, the time to be expected for a period, the Raisa, the Rabbonon, still says the Rishash, that question is only regarding if the time where a period is expected came and the woman did not examine herself, if she had a period, is she permitted to continue having relations? Can we assume that she's tar? But certainly there is a physical factor that a woman has a period at a veset, and therefore there's no question that she cannot say it's his fault. Kita Bailach, the question is Shleibishas Vesta, when she got a period not in the normal time to be expected. Kivin the Leibishas Vesta, since it's not in the normal time, Matze Amalei, can she say to him, Nistap Chesedeu, it's obviously your bad mazel. Adam Kivin the Ikenoshi, the Kamashan Vestayu, it's quite normal that women's period fluctuate. It's always considered Kishas Vesta Dami. Pasha Rav Achoy, so Rav Achoy attempted to answer this from the wording of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Higiz man v'loy nisu, if the time came to get married and they were not married, the loch is oichlus mishaloi vach b'tshuma. She gets supported from him, she's allowed to begin eating tshuma. Loy nosu, like tanu. The Mishnah doesn't use the word nosu, which would mean that the delay was because of the chosun. El loy nisu. It was delayed was because of both of them, also because of the kalam. So, ask the Gemara, what is the case that this Mishnah is referring to? Hey chidomi, idik makvin ini, if she's the reason, if they're deliberately delaying the wedding, so if they're doing it on purpose, amay ochtim shloyachas patruma, why is she entitled to be supported? Elav, it must be that the Mishnah is referring to a situation, ditnes kai gavna, one of the examples that we just gave, there was an oinus, and still, the Mishnah teaches us, Tani, Oichus Mishaloi, Oichus Matruma. So from here we see that Oinus is not a reason that she should not be supported. The Rishonim discuss, does this answer both of our questions, both the question if she got ill and the question if she got a period, or maybe it only answers the question where she got ill, not the situation where she had a period. Omer of Ashi, Loi Lamloch, Kol Oinus Loi Oichul. Perhaps I could tell you that Oinus, she doesn't get supported. The Mishnah, and the only time that she gets supported is the Kama Ikvi Inu, is when he is the cause of delay. Or Bidinhu, and in fact, you're correct, the Boy Leila Mislei Noi Nasu. The Mishnah should have used the words Loi Nasu, not Loi Nisu, which Loi Nisu clearly indicates that it's the husband's fault. Just however, since the first part of the Mishnah speaks about her, the Mishnah begins with the words Noisn L'Psula Shnei Masachodish. L'Psula is given 12 months. Olamana Shloishim Yoyim Tananam is Sefer B'didhi. That's why we learned in the Sefer also referring to her. And the Rishonim go on to explain that this halacha that he has to support her when the time comes is not only if we give the normal time of 12 months, but if there is identified a time earlier that they're going to get married and then he delays it, he has to begin to support her. The Paiskim discussed nowadays that we don't have Erisin, but in some communities a Tanoim are written, also establishing when the wedding will take place. What will be the halacha if that time comes and the wedding didn't take place? Will the husband have to begin to support her? The Beis Shmuel says that he would not have to begin supporting her. I have other Paiskim, the Tveris Yaakov, says that he would begin to support her. Omer Rava, L'inyan Gitna Enikein, even though we've just learned that if a husband was delayed by circumstances beyond his control, he's not obligated to support her. If there are circumstances beyond his control by a get, the get would still be valid. Rava considers ein oinus begitten. And as Rashi and the Rishonim explain, the situation here is where a person says, I'm giving you a get, and the get will be valid unless I come by a certain day, and then he doesn't come, even though the reason he didn't come were because of circumstances beyond his control, the get is considered a valid get. The Rishonim do explain that, let's say the issue was just the opposite. He said that the get will be a get if I come, and then he doesn't come because the circumstances beyond his control. Certainly that will not be considered an oinus, where he says the get will be a get if I don't come, and the circumstances beyond his control, because that oinus cannot make as if he actually came. What the oinus here is that he said if I don't come, the get will be a get. If I do come, the get will be a get. And then something caused him not to come beyond his control, the get is still a valid get. Ask the Gemara Manolei LeRava Ha. From where does Rava know this? Ilei Mahad Tanan. From where we learned in the Mishnah Masech the Gittin. Person said, "Reza gitechem loy bosim kanvei shnei masochaydish." Person says, "This get should be valid if I don't come within 12 months." Umeis b'toch shnei masochaydish, and he dies within 12 months. The loch is en a get. So says the Gemara, "Meis." It's only because he died who the en a get, because a get cannot be valid after his death. Death ha chala. If he got ill, a reza get, and that prevented him from coming, it's still considered a get. Says Rava, says the Gemara, that's not really a proof. Because Dilma lo'ilam eimala chayla namien get. That even if he got sick, and that's why he didn't come, since it's an oinus, the get is not a get. So why didn't the Mishnah speak about it that case? Because he gufa kamashmon, the Mishnah wants to teach us the halacha of ein get lachamisa. That a get cannot be effective after a person, after the husband's death. Ask the Gemara, en get lachemisa, that halacha that a get is not valid after the husband's death, hatana l'ireisha, was already learned in the first part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, hareza gitech imati, if somebody says this is a get, if I die, hareza gitech mechaylizu, if somebody says this get is a get if I get up from this illness, hareza gitech lachemisa, the get should be valid after my death, so we already know that halacha. It must be that this Mishnah is teaching us that an oinus is a reason to invalidate a get. Says the Gemara, the reason that the Mishnah spoke here about the case of the husband died is because the Mishnah wants to teach us that we don't agree with Rabbi Nisenu. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Nisenu Yitirah Linosei. The Rabbanah disagree with the Mishnah, and they said that under certain circumstances that a person gave a get and he said if I don't come within 12 months and he died within the 12 months, the get will be a valid get. V'amrinan, my Rabbi Nisenu, who are these Rabbi Nisenu? Om Rabbi Yudah Mishmul, Beit Dina Deshar Mishcha. It was the Bezdin that allowed, that permitted oil. Originally Chazal, just like they said Bishul Akum, the food cooked by an Akum Osir, they also said that the oil of Akum was Osir. But then they realized that that was a rule that most people cannot accept, and they therefore sharu, they permitted that. And they held like Rabbi Yossi. The Om is Manish Lashtar Mechir Chalav. The fact that the get has a date, and the date of the get being written proves that what the person saying this meant to say was that the get should be retroactively valid from the date written in the get. And therefore, let's say the get was written on Chof Elul, and says, if I don't come within 12 months, the get should be valid. And he dies within those 12 months. Since the date represents that he wants the get should be retroactively valid back to Chof Elul, the get is a valid get. Our Mishnah is coming to teach us that we do not agree with the Rabbi Nisenu, and even though there's a date there, the date doesn't mean anything. Mepharshim ask every get. Taisus asks every get has to have a date. How can we rely on that date? So Taisus answers the date doesn't have to have a specific day. It doesn't have to say Chaf Aleph Elul. It could just say the week or the month. Or he could have written the date for 12 months later. The Rabbi Nisenu, Rabbi Yossi hold the date. The fact that he wrote today's date is a proof that he wants the get to be effective retroactively. So again, we now need to bring proof for what Rav said, that ein oinus begitten, that if there were circumstances beyond his control, that still would not invalidate the get. El Maseifa, if he said me achshav, we wrote specifically, if the get should be effective from today, and he died within the 12 months, hareza get. So says the Gemara, meis, it's the same thing If he dies within l'chayla, or he got sick, under all circumstances, the get is an effective get, because he wanted the get to be effective retroactively, and even though something happened that was beyond his control, the get will be a good get. Ask the Gemara, what's the proof? Dilma mei stafka, strictly in a case where he died, that's where he wants the get to be good. The whole purpose he wrote the get is because he has no children. He doesn't want that his wife should be subject to the concerns of Yibum, and therefore he wrote such a get. But could be regarding oinus. He didn't want the get. If he got sick, he didn't want the get should be effective. And oinus is a reason that the get, that the tana is enough of a reason to say that the get is not effective. El Maha, the proof is from here. The Huda Amalo, somebody said, Eloya sin mekambat losin yomim. If I don't arrive within 30 days from now, we'll have a get. This get should be a valid get. Also besides losin yomim, he came at the end of 30 days. However, Pasper Mavra, the river overflowed and he couldn't come. Amalu, chazoy dasoy, chazoy dasoy. He announces, I'm here. It's this unfortunate circumstance beyond my control that's preventing me from arriving. It's not considered that he came, and the get is valid, even though there was an oinus here, even though there were circumstances beyond his control. So we have a proof that ain't oinus begitten, that's not considered a reason to invalidate the get. Ask the Gemara, that's not a proof either, because dim oinus of the shchiach shani, it was very common that the river should overflow. And therefore, even the boy Leilasnuye, he should have made up beforehand that if this happens, my tenai, my stipulation is not a stipulation of like asne, and he didn't say that. That's why Iud Afsar Nafshe, it's his own problem, and that's why the get is a get. But maybe, perhaps, in a case where there were circumstances beyond his control, and these were circumstances that he cannot imagine would have happened, how do we know that ain't oinus begitten? How does Rava know that that is not a valid reason to invalidate the get? We will continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, trying to find a source for Rava's ruling.